Greetings to all you distinguished gentlemen out there of retirement age. This is Scott McKay from XY Communications, and you're listening to a special bonus audio that comes with the masterclass program for mature audiences only. With me for this particular interview is a friend of mine. His name is Jonathan Astley, and he's from California. And man, he's been doing the dating and relationship coaching gig for at least as long as I have. And the specific topic we're going to cover involves the challenges faced by men of retirement age specifically. Welcome, Jonathan.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. Great to connect with you again.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I know you're the right guy for this because, first of all, you're a seasoned veteran like me and, frankly, like the guys listening. And I'm going to let you spill all of your wisdom to these guys on what tips you have for guys who are 60, 65 and are retired and out there dating again, meeting women, perhaps for the purpose of just having several wonderful women in their life, or perhaps to find someone special to spend the rest of their life with, hopefully. So what wisdom do you have for us, Jonathan? Just go for it.
Well, I think right off the bat, and because we're going to cut right to the chase, I think one of the challenges for people in general who are retired is when they date someone who's not retired. In other words, one of the differences between the two is a retired person typically has way more free time in the day than a person who's out in the workforce, whether they work for somebody else or they work for themselves. I think that's one of the main differences between the two. And so one of the frustrations men and women alike feel is, does this person have enough time for the amount of time I have, you know, to be in relationship? I think that's number one. Number two, and men in particular, I've noticed this, is guys who are retired, they oftentimes have created a very full life for themselves. So whether they like to go fishing on the weekends, or they go play golf with their buddies, or they decide to take a trip, you know, from the US to Europe or vice versa, wherever it is, it's, again, finding someone who can fit into their lifestyle. So what happens for a lot of guys in particular, and I see this with women, but mostly for guys, they're looking for relationships. They're kind of actually looking for part-time relationships and not day-to-day type of relationships. Now, that's not always the case. However, I notice this, especially with guys who are retired and happen to be a little bit more successful than the average person. I mean, they're above the above average income or financial status range. That's one of the things I notice with those guys, is they're looking for part-time relationships. And as a dating and coach, relationship coach for women, they feel frustration with those guys because those women typically want something more full-time. And this is where I see some of the challenges. Did that make sense, what I just shared?
Yeah, great stuff so far, man. I have to ask you, yeah, is it wise for a retired man to get married again, or are there too many legacy-related complications there potentially?
Well, you know, here, that's a great question. And, you know, we say wise. I mean, we're really, I think we're looking at it from the pessimistic point of view. And what let me just say why I say that is, and by the way, I'm over 60. Okay. I've been married once. I certainly, at the early stages of my divorce, I felt like I got burned and I didn't ever want to remarry. Now I've met someone who's actually my age, and I'm contemplating that because I think two people are better than one. The challenge is the idea of getting married to someone, you're also marrying not just them, but you're marrying into their family, you're marrying into their baggage, you're marrying into a lot of things. And so if you're going to choose to remarry, I would certainly do so because you see this as a long-term potential partner, for one. A lot of men are considering, or certainly more so now than ever before, having prenups, so to protect their assets. And I know my ex-wife's father remarried, and there was concern about how would assets be divided in that particular case. So I think a good prenup makes sense. The challenge, though, Scott, here's where it gets really tricky. I'm just going to piggyback on the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial. How do you know you're not getting involved with someone who might be emotionally challenged, emotionally constipated, emotionally a train wreck? this is where it gets tricky, because most guys and women hyper-focus on chemistry in the early stages of dating and not the more important things, which are shared values, blendable lifestyles, and more importantly, emotional maturity. And so if we're driven by biology and instinct, we're driven by chemistry, we could miss a lot of the red flags that suggest that this person would be a terrible person to marry. And I use the word terrible in the sense as it could be problematic if it doesn't work out.
You know, a lot of older folks find themselves getting scammed. And a lot of people who are, well, younger, perhaps even slightly younger, wonder why it is that older people are so particularly susceptible to being scammed. And certainly, as we've seen in some high profile cases out there, like Casey Kasem and some others, his daughter, by the way, went on a national radio tour to warn other people about what happened to her father at the hands of a vicious, manipulative woman. How can older guys kind of wake up to this idea that, hey, it's really a thing that older folks get scammed more than younger folks? And what's going on there, Jonathan?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know older people are targeted from, you know, those scam artists just over the telephone. You know, you get a phone call telling you that this is the IRS and you have to punch in your social security number and your password to your account. And you're just thinking, oh, I'm just trying to, because we, the older generation didn't grow up with technology, number one. Okay. And so they've had to learn technology in a way that, you know, the younger generation were literally indoctrinated in. That's number one. Number two, the older group of people tend to be more trustworthy. They tend to be more trusting. It used to be, you know, when you think of like the JFK era and whatnot, where there was a lot of solidarity in the world, you know, if you grew up around that time. Certainly up until about the Ronald Reagan era, there felt more of a united front in the United States. And here we are a divisive country, number one. And what's happened is if you operate from an overly trusting place, you are more susceptible. Number three, older people are targets. So what happens is with older people is oftentimes somebody who is out of their league will connect with them through a dating site, whether it's a gorgeous girl trying to get an older guy or a young, attractive guy trying to get an older woman. And because you have this beautiful person desiring your attention, it's very easy to be susceptible to scam artists, because actually, if you're really honest with yourself, this person is so far out of your league. What the heck are they doing, you know, reaching out to you? You know, that you really have to be honest with yourself. But I can tell you, most of the time, it's someone out of your league expressing interest, and you're thinking, oh my God, this person likes me. And believe me, you're getting set up to be smacked upside the face. So it's really recognizing, you know, who you are. And if someone out of your league is reaching out to you, be suspicious. In fact, sadly today, I got a scam call earlier today. I am literally operate from a suspicious place, not from a negative suspicious place, but from a cautionary place. And I think, because here's the thing, Scott, these days we're meeting total strangers. You know, 50 years ago, you didn't date someone you didn't know, you know, whether it was in your school or your workplace, those were the two, or your town you lived in. Now with total strangers, you have to be more hypervigilant.
Do you have any online dating tips for older folks?
you know, first is, if you're going to be online dating, is put a quality representation of yourself, quality photographs, and a quality essay. Scott, I will tell you that 99% of dating profiles I review on a daily basis for clients, the men's profiles are crappy and the women's profiles are crappy. They literally slap up, you know, they literally took a photograph, you know, getting out of bed, and like, that's the level of representation. So a quality representation is so critically important. Hire a photographer, get some good quality pictures of yourself, you know, have someone write your essay, you know, because these are the, it's like, if you're going to apply, let's say back when you weren't retired, you wanted to get that job with the, you know, the most prestigious company out there, you would buy a brand new suit. You'd have your resume written by a professional because you wanted the job. Treat online dating the same as you would trying to get that awesome job you want. But most people don't.
Last question.
Okay.
A lot of these guys live in retirement communities, like, for example, the Villages in Florida. Not necessarily a nursing home just yet, hopefully never, but definitely a community, a planned community, if you will, specifically for people over, say, 55.
Yeah.
What are the intricacies of dating within one of those communities? I know for a fact it can get a little provincial with people in there and they talk like they're junior high again, you know, gossiping about each other. Also, an interesting statistic is that the Villages, the zip code that is the Villages in Florida, has the highest STD rate in the entire United States of America. And I don't believe that's apocryphal. I think that's an actual statistic.
Yeah.
Give us your knowledge. Give us your wisdom, Jonathan, on dating within a retirement community environment.
Okay. You're going to laugh at what I'm about to share with you. But after my divorce, I got financially wiped out and I briefly had to move in with my mother and father in an over 55 community. And I was in my 40s. Okay. So I actually witnessed some of this, not as big as the Villages. So a couple things. First and foremost, a great environment to connect with people. You're relatively your own age. You share similar space. You don't need to go on the online dating realm. There's a plethora of people to connect with. So it's a great opportunity to meet people. Number one. But there is an old adage, don't shit where you eat. So if you're connecting with people there and it doesn't work out, it can be very problematic. Now, as far as the STD, you know, interestingly enough, roughly one third of the population, at least here in the United States, I believe has herpes. That's anecdotal on my part. But I have read it somewhere. I just don't remember.
HPV too.
Okay. So, you know, it's, and by the way, of the older generation, believe me, we don't like wearing condoms. Okay. I mean, my millennial son, that's the first thing that's pulled out, you know, when there's a chance to have sex, that's the last thing we think of. So I'm not surprised that there is more spread. But the truth be told, you just take a shot of penicillin and it's gone, you know, 2 weeks later. I mean, it's rare that you're going to catch something more serious that can't be cured by popping a pill or getting a shot. So, there's probably a little more promiscuity because you know what? The reality is, you know, this is our last chance to have fun. So go out and have as much fun as you can.
And nobody's going to get pregnant.
Exactly. So you're not worried about, you know, birth control. So, but I will say this, the older generation, I know for myself, the idea of putting on a condom is like, feels like I'd rather have needles in my eyes kind of thing. I'll be candid with you, you know, and plus my dick shrinks, you know, the minute one gets on. So I'm not surprised that this happens.
Well, very well. This has been a golden treasure trove of information courtesy of you, Jonathan Astley. And I want to direct these guys to your podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, so my podcast, thank you so much. And I really appreciate that. You're a good interviewer, by the way. My podcast is called the What Would Love Do podcast. The idea is, I mean, I explore relationships from a more human behavior perspective. And the idea is, how can we approach the process with love? And what I mean by love is not, you know, anger, contempt, you know, criticism, defensiveness. How can we approach things from a more loving perspective than kind of the way most people do this these days with a lot of defensiveness?
Fantastic. And gentlemen, you can find that wherever you pick up your podcasts to listen to, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And it's a good listen, and I highly recommend it to you. Jonathan Astley from Beverly Hills, California. That's where I want to stay. Thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been great.
Thank you, Scott. Much appreciated. Be well.
You too, man. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.